Maddie, you have five masculine placements. You have five feminine placements. Your chart is as androgynous, non-binary, queer as you could possibly be. This is ridiculously balanced.
Sweet.
You were designed to be this way, I promise you.
Cool.
Hello and welcome back. Today we are discussing the Zodiac with someone who actually knows about it. I do not believe in this at all.
So for me, I just don't have enough understanding of it to have a certain, like, I do or do not believe in this opinion.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Kayla Phoenix. I go by either name. Pronouns are they, them. I've been a spiritual practitioner for a long time. I just like to think of myself as someone who's just working through life and trying to help other people.
Let's get into it.
All right.
Anytime I've asked like a friend or anything like that to explain this to me, I still don't understand it. I don't relate to like the memes that people have of Aquarius ever. I'm always like, that's so not me.
See, so I thought you were going to say that because your Aquarius placement is in your fourth house. So the place where Aquarius relates to you is in your home and your family life and not liking to be tied down by people and feeling misunderstood.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so, and if I look away from the camera, I'm very sorry. I took fastidious notes and I'm looking at your chart. I have it saved on my computer.
Cool.
Yes. All right, so your sun is in Aquarius. You know that. Your moon is in Taurus, though. So your moon is your emotional core. It's your emotional self. It's who you are when no one is looking. And Taurus is definitely, especially in moon signs, it's more, Taurus is baby. Taurus is baby. Taurus is like, cuddle me, feed me pizza, watch my favorite movie with me, and let's just not start any crap. And if you see someone starting some drama off on the side, the instant reaction for Taurus moons is just to roll their eyes and be like, oh, guys, come on, why we gotta be doing this right now? So that is a lot. That's something that modifies Aquarius suns a lot, because Aquarius suns can be very creative and not wanting to be tied down. It's not that Aquariuses are flighty or fickle or anything like that. They just like having their elbow room, you know what I'm saying? And Taurus gives me very much like drinking hot tea on a rainy day, snuggled up in five layers of comfy, cozy, weighted blankets kind of energy. Any of that ringing any bells? Because I haven't met you previously.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, by the way, side note, do you have any foot or like ankle problems? Do those ever bother you?
I have a weird toe thing, specifically. Okay. One toe.
So that's something to look for. One of your placements basically speaks to, so you're Saturn and Pisces specifically. I'm not, without getting too in depth into it, there are placements in your chart that have certain constraints, and there are placements in your chart that have certain expansion and certain places where you push your own limits and your own boundaries. So some of the things that we can do is we can predict like physical ailments and things that might impact you later. So keep an eye on your tootsies. Be nice to them. Don't be on your feet too long. Okay. Your ascendant is in Scorpio, which Scorpio rising in the house. Scorpio rising too. Scorpio rising is not the golden retriever friend. They're the pit bull friend, specifically the rescue pity. Some people might not understand, but it's just because we've been through too many situations before where that trust was misused or abused. And so, but actually, sincerely, the most cuddly, lovey-dovey things on the face of the earth are Scorpio risings. Like, they just want to be loved and taken care of, but will not hesitate to drop a bitch if they mess with someone we care about. Absolutely. Go 0 to 100 real quick. That happens. So love that. And I did find it interesting. So, you know, I mentioned masculine and feminine energy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Maddie, you have 5 masculine placements. You have 5 feminine placements. Your chart is as androgynous, non-binary, queer as you could possibly be as a human being, like, ever. This is ridiculously balanced.
Sweet. Nice.
Oh, you were designed to be this way. I promise you.
Cool.
I love it.
I'll take it.
Absolutely. Well, and the other reason that you might not feel like an Aquarius is because your sun is square, your ascendant. So when you have a square, that's signs that are at a right angle. They're in opposition to each other on your chart. So you have Aquarius square your Scorpio. Okay. So you have this need to stretch your elbows and to have room and to be creative and to bounce from place to place while also needing this emotional connection and this connection to people and having a hard time separating your emotions from a person. So it can be something that might be very difficult, but when you have like one or two very close, very trusted people in your life, that is like, that's your circle where those two things are in harmony with each other and they don't square off against each other, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. I just see you just nodding like, yep.
Yes.
And if we have time, I did want to tell you about, I'm scrolling through my notes right now. I did want to tell you about your Mercury is in Aquarius. So again, Aquarius gets this rap for being the flamboyant, the hippie kid, you know what I'm saying? The 60s kid. Mercury in Aquarius isn't so much the rowdy person themselves, but they are very good at inspiring others. They're good at stirring the pot, might sound a little extreme, but more so help other people see outside the box and see outside their own limited perspectives of who they are. And I think especially with your Scorpio rising placement, that might be one reason why emotional attachments are so important, because having that connection to people is something that not only helps you but helps them, which is part one of the ways that makes you feel fulfilled as a person.
I can see that.
That's definitely a strength. I know sometimes it might feel like a weakness, but it's actually not, especially for someone with a Venus in Capricorn, which you have, which is, again, it might come off as like a loner kind of attitude, but you're very in tune with the emotions of the people around you, and you're good at kind of plotting out where you need to be for them. Word of advice, continue to be in touch with yourself too. Don't set yourself on fire to keep other people warm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want me to go over more? We covered quite a big chunk there. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm into it. My brain feels nourished. I like it.
Oh, good.
I am curious if there's like a zodiac reason for this. There's this thing that's been like a pattern in my life. I can't figure out if it's like, is this the autism? Like, I just come across weird, or if there's more than one reason. But like, there's this thing that has happened with me my whole life where like, I will have an idea and like do the idea and just cannot get people to like want the thing. So like, if I do Enneagram coaching, I can't get people to sign up for it. My friend is it the same way, and he'll get like 4,000 in a month. Why? Is that a zodiac thing, or do we think that's you're neurodivergent and you don't communicate in a way people are picking up on thing?
Well, I think they go hand in hand. I think your zodiac placements definitely enhance that, and I think being neurodivergent enhances things. Let me tell you something. As a fellow neurodivergent and a Pisces, people just don't get my shit at all. It just is what it is. It's fine. Okay. That being said, so the Aquarius placements have a lot to do with it, because sometimes people can't wrap their head around how your brain is working, but you have a clear vision. And to them, it just seems like ping ponging. But you're the one playing pong. You're the one with the paddles and the ball. You feel me? Like, you're the one with the sliders. You're going good. All other people see is just pong all over the place. Another thing that might have something to do with it, I remember you had, I believe you're Mars in Leo. Let me double check. Yeah, you are. Okay. Mars in Leo does not do well with authority figures, specifically maternal authority figures. At all. So the thing is, you're able to create your own path. Not in a rebellious way, but in a, I have my thing I want to do and my way of communicating in this vision. And other people are kind of where they are, and you can see all these different possibilities. So I don't think it's so much a communication thing. It might be with the neurodivergent part of it, but that's one aspect I can definitely see enhancing that, because if you already, it's not so much trouble with authority, it's more that, and again, the Aquarius placements play right into this, it's the need for elbow room, it's the need to be able to guide people and to, again, push them past their own limits of understanding. If someone doesn't see where you're coming from, especially with the Enneagram, because not a lot of people are very familiar with the Enneagram, but then you're like, I want to coach you because you're not familiar with the Enneagram. See ya. One, I get it. that's something where what I would say is you don't realize how magnetic you are, though. Leo placements are very good at, not so much communication, but just like forging the path, basically. So you have sight placements and you have action placements. It's just trying to get the two to tango. And again, that emotional connection, it's very frustrating when you see something that would be beneficial to people and helpful to people, and they just don't seem to be picking up what you're putting down. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this, though. Your chart is a very sensitive one. You are someone, again, who just wants to help people.
Mm-hmm.
If I may, and this is just a message from spirit coming through, you are not responsible for the path that other people take. Your path, that doesn't mean your path is not good. It does not mean other people should be coming with you on it at all. That being said, not everyone is at a place, because time and space, it's like this plane of existence, but there's mountains and hills and valleys and whatnot. You might exist on two different points. You're on the same plane of existence, but they can't see where you are because they're on a different hill on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not your responsibility to backtrack your life to go over there, pick them up, and scoot their happy asses all the way up to where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Just whenever you feel down on yourself, remember you're doing the best you can.
Okay, cool.
That's all you got to do. You're doing great. The other thing I will say too with your Mars placement is that it's in the ninth house. So remember I told you there's houses,
mm-hmm.
like Harry Potter, right? So your ninth house is, the way I interpret it is, it's kind of like, it's your social placement kind of. It's how you interact with other people, especially when it comes to like career stuff. So that makes sense that Mars Leo is in the ninth house, because you have very strong opinions on things that you feel the need to defend, like energetically feel the need to defend, mm-hmm. And want to help sometimes come off as personal when someone doesn't listen to something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just, and again, I think being neurodivergent might be part of that, but that definitely has something to do with it.
Okay.
I did write down another note on that since you mentioned that. Because you're Jupiter. So Jupiter is, so think Jupiter is the gas giant. That's your expansion. That's where things come natural to you and you just grow. Whereas Saturn has the rings. It's more constriction and restrictions and boundaries and things like that. Your Jupiter is Sagittarius, also a fire placement. Sag is the hunter. Sag is always in pursuit of perfection. But they're, oh my God, Sages are so much fun. They're a lot, but they're a lot of fun. They're very enthusiastic and they see the best in a situation, basically. And they always have this attitude of, I can make it better. Like, yes, this sucks, but I can do great.
Yeah.
So you have that power. And I know when people don't recognize it, it might be kind of sort of frustrating, but you're doing incredible. Like, don't give up on that. That's kind of ingrained into who you are. And if people don't like it, they can go toddle off somewhere else and it's fine. What else do you have questions for me about? Anything else brewing in your noggin?
I don't think questions, no. Is there anything else in there?
In that I see?
Yeah.
There's a ton. That you meant to get to. There's a ton. So since we mentioned Saturn, your Saturn is in Pisces. Pisces and Sag are not opposite, but oh boy, they are nothing alike. So Pisces is the connection to the extraterrestrial, to the spiritual, to the unseen, basically. So when you have restrictions with that placement, when you have Pisces in Saturn, or Saturn and Pisces, whichever, it's this feeling of being sometimes talked over, sometimes walked over. Mm-hmm. And especially with a Mars and Leo, that can be very difficult because, again, you're not one to be dominated. It's not that you have a problem listening to other people. It's that when you're trying to help people and other people come along and they're not listening, they kind of tend to bulldoze your energy and it can feel very, very draining. Mm-hmm. That sound about right? Mm-hmm. So that's one reason why it can also people listen to ideas that you have, because Pisces are very much loners. They're very much, and Aquarius too. Aquarius is more, I like to have elbow room. Pisces is more like the mage in the tower, basically. Mm. They are so connected to the ideas that they have in their head that sometimes it can be hard to come out of that. And it can also be difficult to put into words and make your ideas tangible. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you have Saturn in Pisces, something that I would encourage you to do is just continue to be authentic to yourself, and also to keep close the people that you do trust, because especially if you have someone in your life who has a lot of earth energy, looking at you, Brie, you will have that person
Oh, me?
Me?
Fully. This one? Oh.
Oh, I chose violence. I choose violence every day. When you have someone with a ton of earth placements who is really good at grounding you, earth shapes water and gives air something to go into. So my guess with you two is that Brie is a very good place for you to pour your ideas into, because she is the skeptic. She is the one who will pull you down to earth a little bit, who will help put words to your ideas that sometimes feel like they might not make sense to other people, and will be there to just give you a loving there when you need it. So
yeah. Yeah.
Friend,
she's very good at going, yeah, let's do that, but let's do it this way so it comes across better. Like, probably smart, yeah.
Very that. And I love that. That's something that's super important to you. You are meant to have people like that in your life. It's your chosen family. Mm-hmm. You know? That's something cool. That's very helpful. Just don't get too lost in your own head. Your head is your stronghold. That is one of the strongest things about you. But if you're not careful, especially people with Saturn and Pisces are very prone to depression. They're very prone to self-sabotage. They're very prone to, well, I can't make people understand, so why the f*** do I bother? So don't get too lost in your own head. I see
don't
you.
Don't laugh at me, Brie. Brie's like, yeah.
Me, I would never say anything out loud.
Your face says it for you.
I'm gonna get to you later.
Oh no.
This is fun. I always have multiple ideas about the first idea. I think it'd be so interesting to compare like how Enneagram charts work with zodiac charts, because a lot of this matches my Enneagram chart too, which is fascinating. But
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. Enneagram is like, that's like, again, same conversation, but in Spanish or Mandarin or something.
Yeah.
It's all talking about the same thing.
Well, sweet. We should probably move on, or I'll just ask a million questions for like an hour and be like, what
about
this?
There's a lot there.
Yeah. Oh, I do want to ask this, actually, because I, even without knowing the Zodiac, I feel like it's something people do wrong. When people are like, this sign should never date this sign, this sign should never be friends with that sign. If there's so many elements, like, why? Why?
Some people have their head so far up their ass. That's a very I disagree with that very strongly, but here's the thing. To be fair, again, I'm a Pisces sun. I am a hopeless fucking romantic. I'm very sorry about it. Now, in terms of compatibility, your sun sign and the other person's sun sign are not what you should be looking at. If you want to look at compatibility, look at their Venus. Your Venus is your love language. It's how you show love to other people, and it's how you receive love and how you show love to yourself. That person's Venus, if it is the same sign, the same placement as your sun sign, you are more likely to be compatible. If your Venus is the same as their sun sign, you are more likely to be compatible. Hmm. Also, people who have sister signs in Mars. So say, for instance, if someone has a Mars Pisces and the other person has a Mars Virgo, which are opposing signs in the charts, okay? Those are going to be people who are, it's like good cop, bad cop. That makes a really strong partnership when they are able to look at two different sides of the same issue. But again, if someone's healthy, if someone's unhealthy, that influences it a lot.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Very nice. It just remind me one more time, what if Venus and like, why are those two things the things that make you compatible with people?
Excellent question. So Venus is your love language. It's your love placement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your sun is big brain energy. That's your ego. It's the way you think. It's the way you mull over things. Okay. And whatever house your sun sign is in is going to affect that. For instance, your Aquarius is in the fourth house. That is why you have the desire to travel, but also Taurus moon. So like if you could teleport, but take your mattress and your stuffies and whatnot with you, you would.
pretty much. Yeah.
I know you would.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So if someone shows love to you in a way that you can cognitively process, there's going to be less of a communication barrier.
That makes sense.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, thank you for explaining all that. Sorry, did you want to say something else?
No, that was about it.
I mean, there's something.
No, not at all. One of these days, though, we'll have to chart about your North Node and your South Node because those are very interesting, too. Okay. North Node and South Node are your past lives and your future lives.
Brie knows I am like very into past lives, so I'm curious about this.
I think that you would be very interested in yours, but I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole because you will be here all day long.
Okay, cool. Maybe that's a follow up episode.
we'll do this again.
cool. Well, thanks for that, Brie. Shall we beat up on Brie now?
Sure, but
just
everyone's
kidding. It did not feel like that at all. It was a really fun thing to do. I could talk about this for like 5 hours and just be like, tell me more. Tell me everything.
But that said, you will all have to come back tomorrow to find out what exactly all of my charty things are. So please be sure and do that. And we will see you tomorrow, hopefully, because we will be here. And we hope you are as well. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.